Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
I just received an email that the birthday present me, Sean, and Tommy bought for you has finally arrived at my residence.
Yay!
So tomorrow, there'll be a presentation.
Oh, there'll be a ceremony.
A big old ceremony.
I love it.
As Tiki Barber gets the gift we got him for turning 50, obviously we feel very small because it's not as nice as the gift Boomer got you. But it is what it is. We still have the thought that counts. So we'll present that to you tomorrow. Now, about the Giants, we are 9 days away now from the NFL draft. And we'll get back to your calls. A lot of discussion around Juan Soto. Juan is dealing with multiple controversies, one of which is a nothing burger, the comments he made to Mike Puma about the protection in the order compared to the Yankees. But the other one that has blown up with a lot of Met fans is Juan Soto bunting, something I hate and something Tiki's like, it's amazing. It's a great winning baseball play. But it came out last night that the New York Giants are going to have one private workout with Shedeur Sanders on Thursday in Boulder, Colorado. So in 2 days, exactly 1 week before the draft, Brian Daboll, Joe Shane, and a bunch of Giant officials will perform this private workout with Shedeur. Now, full disclosure, they're also going to be having private workouts with Jalen Milroe of Alabama and Tyler Shugg of Louisville.
It's a G-H. I don't know how it's C-K.
Yeah.
It makes no sense to me. So even though I know it's Shuck, I can't say it.
Well, if he's drafted by the Jets or Giants, the callers are going to be great. It's going to be fantastic.
See the front page, you Shuck, right after a bad start. They also already did one with Jackson Dart, it should be noted.
And, so they're doing it all except Cam Ward, who they know they're not getting. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
Okay. Does this mean anything to you? Are you getting a read possibly on what they're doing here? Because Shedeur is right there for them at three in all likelihood.
He is, but I also feel like they may be positioning themselves to be the trade partner for whoever is desperate for a quarterback. So we're looking at quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
No, trust us, private with Jackson Dart, private with Shedeur Sanders, private with Tyler Shuck. All of these quarterbacks they're looking at. So they're telling the rest of the league, some of whom don't care, but some of them will because they want quarterbacks, we are taking a quarterback. So if you want one of these guys, probably just Jackson Dart and Shedeur Sanders are the only ones that matter in their case, you're going to have to trade with us. And so I think they're setting up a potential trade market to potentially go back.
More so than actually evaluating Shedeur one last time before they make the decision.
But, I mean, what else do you need to evaluate?
I don't know. You tell me.
You've seen it all.
Do they feel like they know the answer on Shedeur Sanders right now? Or are they going to learn something on Thursday that they still haven't figured out a week before the draft?
Well, I think he had his private workout, but he controls that private workout.
Mm-hmm.
Or his team controls that private workout. It's not the Giants saying, all right, do this, do this, do this, learn this. We're going to ask you about it a little bit later. Now regurgitate it and amend it if you get X, Y, Z. Right? So they didn't get a chance, I don't think, to put him through the rigors of what an NFL quarterback has to go through. So you get a chance to do that, basically to determine his ability to process, comprehend, and translate it right back to them. So that's the one thing. But, I mean, I don't know how much that matters if you're sold on a guy. Right? Do you need the last second week and a half before the draft sit down to say, I really, really, really like this guy.
So, you think it's more likely this is a smokescreen of sorts? One, to initiate a potential trade.
Yes.
Or just throw people off the scent.
That's my guess. Look, and it's partly because of my bias to this position, meaning where they're drafting.
Right, right.
If you're drafting number three, you have to draft a guy who's going to be a star, meaning perennial Pro Bowler, maybe potential Hall of Famer, but that's what that position in the draft dictates you have to take. Now, I know we're quarterback heavy, meaning desperate in this league, but I want a star, someone who's going to be generationally good for me. And you very rarely get drafts where you have multiple guys that fit that criteria, whether it's Abdul Carter or whether it's Travis Hunter. It almost feels irresponsible to just take a quarterback because you think you need a quarterback.
No, I think you have to take the quarterback that you believe in. If they don't believe in Shedeur Sanders, I may disagree with them. I'm certainly no NFL draft scout or anything. Then don't take him. I don't think you should take him because you have to. You should take him if you believe in him. Now, here's where I think things get complicated. I believe in Shedeur Sanders, but how much do I believe in him? Do I think he's a franchise quarterback, or do I think he's just a good quarterback?
Yeah.
I'd probably lean towards good quarterbacks. Right. I want to ask you a specific question, and I want to bring up players to really paint the picture better. If you draft Abdul Carter and he turns into Warren Sapp, or he turns into an elite-level defensive player, Miles Garrett.
Right.
Want to do Myles Garrett?
Myles Garrett.
More modern, right?
Perfect example.
Okay.
Because Sapp was interior. He's on the edge.
Perfect. Myles Garrett. Versus you draft Shedeur Sanders and he turns into, not Patrick Mahomes, because the answer is easy.
By the way, Abdul Carter is probably more in the Micah Parsons role, but...
No, fine, use Micah Parsons.
Go ahead.
Either way, an elite-level defensive player, it doesn't even actually matter who the player is, as long as they're top of the sport, and clearly both Myles Garrett and Micah Parsons are.
Right.
Versus a good quarterback, but not a great quarterback. So let's go with, in his prime, because he's hurt right now, Derek Carr. Or even Kirk Cousins. Is that worth it? Who would you rather have if you're an NFL franchise?
Yeah.
You rather have the elite level, possible Hall of Fame defensive player, or you've settled the quarterback position at a solid level for the next 8 years?
Yeah.
Which you do with a guy on the level of a Derek Carr and Kirk Cousins. Who would you rather have? This is my best question I've ever asked.
Well,
go ahead.
Obviously, the answer is you want stability at the quarterback position. And right now, the Giants have zero stability. Even with the guys that are here, what's the likelihood they're going to be here for more than 2 or 3 years? The answer is very small.
Right.
And so there isn't stability. So if you can get a Shedeur Sanders who's going to be Jalen Hurts, right? Jalen Hurts is not elite, elite. He's a Super Bowl champion and a Super Bowl MVP. So does it really matter if he's elite, not elite, elite? And is he going to be here for a decade plus? Is that worth it?
You tell me.
The answer is yes.
You're damn right it is.
But the problem is you don't know you're getting that.
No, and we also don't know Abdul Carter's Myles Garrett either, by the way.
True.
Like, we're taking that leap of faith. I'm merely saying when we say, because you hit on it, I want a great player at three. Of course you do. There's a higher bar on the non-quarterback than there is the quarterback.
Absolutely.
And that's my point. Sean, I'm telling you their careers right now. I've seen the future. Would you rather get Myles Garrett or a Kirk Cousins Derek Carr at number three? I've already told you the future. Your call. Your decision.
You can win with both those guys. They can both get you to the playoffs.
This is the thing. I got to be consistent. I hate being in no man's land in the NFL, and I think having a quarterback that's just good enough to be stable and not good enough to get you over the edge as a Super Bowl champion leaves you in purgatory in the NFL. So the Myles Garrett type.
Kid, here's where I disagree with you. If this was the Jets, I'd say you're right. You're in an NFC, and I don't mean to knock Jalen Hurts or Jared Goff. I don't look at them as unbeatable. Like, if I have Derek Carr level as my quarterback and I build a great defense and a great offensive, basically what the Eagles have done, I can win.
No, but you're being short-sighted.
Why?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Because you're thinking about the immediacy of the NFC. The NFC is going to turn over. When you're taking a quarterback, you're thinking about, okay, what's the next decade look like?
Yes.
Jaden Daniels is going to be better than a Kirk Cousins or what, you know, that level of player. He's in your division alone. Who knows what Caleb would, you know, it's constantly turning over. And if now the Giants are not in a spot the next 2 years when better quarterbacks come out and right. NFC teams are throwing the dart, well, then they're left and they're the Andy Dalton Bengals. And is that a situation you want to be
in? So what's your answer? Used a lot of words, but you never actually answered the question.
See, the problem is, as Giant fans right now, we would kill to be the Andy Dalton Bengals.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
But we would get to a point of being frustrated by that.
100%.
Here's my problem. If you go down the, what do you call it, a kaleidoscope, a telescope, whatever, you look down the line.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you're telling,
whatever.
If you're telling, whatever you're looking down. If you're telling me the max is this quarterback is Kirk Cousins,
yeah.
Yes, I'm not signing for that. But I am also in the camp of, I think at some point you got to – I think you're going to pick apart quarterbacks every single year, and we're going to have the Shador Sanders conversation every single year just under different names and different guidance.
If you don't get somebody who's stable.
Exactly. Yeah. So, at some point I need you to make that decision so that if he fails, we're on to the next decision in 2 years and not keep kicking the can down the road.
None of us know, as we head to the NFL draft, what the players are going to be. It's the beauty of the NFL draft. I'm just giving you my very simplistic projection of Shador Sanders, which I think is he's a good quarterback in the NFL. Not a great quarterback in the NFL, a good one. And as a Jet fan, and probably as a Giant fan, Eli hasn't been there in a while, mm-hmm. I wouldn't mind a good quarterback in the NFL. That sounds appealing to me. Of course, the dream is Pat Mahomes. The dream is elite level. But I view Shador, and that's why when we have these arguments of is it worth taking him at 3 or taking him at 7 or taking Abdul Carter or taking Travis Hunter, I get it. I'm trying to frame it as if I believe he's a good quarterback. Let's say the Giants agree with mm-hmm. me. I don't know if they do. It's just my opinion. If they look at him and say, yeah, we project him as a real solid starter in the league, are you taking him at 3 over Abdul Carter, who you project as an elite-level defensive player?
It's a hard one.
I lean quarterback because of the stability.
Particularly because it's an offensive-minded head coach, and they haven't had their own quarterback yet.
How would you answer that, Tommy? Because this is one of my proudest questions. I'm so happy. The way that Tiki and Sean struggle to answer it proves it's a good question.
There's a reason. But by the way, I think that's the reality with this Giants draft.
I agree.
It's not straightforward. It's not, hey, we're gonna sit right here and we're gonna take this guy because that's who we're supposed to take. That's not what the Giants are facing in a couple of weeks.
But there's a reason they struggled with it. It's because of the two options you gave. Derek Carr stinks and Kirk Cousins can't win. Give an option like Joe Flacco, who won a Super Bowl, or Baker Mayfield, who has stones and I think actually could win a Super Bowl because he's a winner. He's got that fire. You pick Derek Carr, who's not any good, and Kirk Cousins famously can't win a big game. So if you gave me a guy like Joe Flacco, who won a Super Bowl, or you gave me somebody like Baker Mayfield, who I like a lot, I would rather those guys.
The reason it's tough to give a Joe Flacco, I'll use Joe Flacco for example, and there's a reason I use Baker Mayfield. He switched teams. Now, I know that other guys did, but they did it after they were successful. Baker Mayfield had like 3 years of success and then he was gone. The problem with Joe Flacco is he was a good quarterback who had that hot run in the postseason. He also had a great head coach and a wonderful roster. I don't know if I can project that about the Giants. My point is, it's a good, stable quarterback. Those other questions, like you just threw out, Kirk Cousins can't win a big game. I don't know. That's just,
but that,
that's
I know, really I know
can,
that
but he can get you to the big game.
Right.
But I know that it complicates the question, but I'll just say it, Eli Manning. Wasn't the greatest quarterback, but he was a winner. And you don't know a guy's going to be a winner until he gets in the league and you see that. So you could throw Derek Carr at me all you want, but does he have the intangibles to make up for that to be a winner? I know what you're saying. I'm complicating it.
Like the good quarterback, because that's how I look at Shador Sanders. Like, to be honest about our all evaluations, I don't think he's ever going to be elite. I think he's good, and good is fine.
So what are you saying? Sits anywhere between 10 to 12 every year in the quarterback
That's
ranking?
Why I used Carr and Cousins as an example. You got into the weeds on, well, they're clutch or this is not clutch. I just don't know that
I just think
stuff.
About Matthew Stafford, who was in that category of 10 to 15. He got with a great coach, and he won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Oh, he got with a better team. That's what it was.
Also, So would the Giants have that team? I'm saying, are we building around him? I'm trying to get back to winning also and getting to a Super Bowl.
We don't know. Would you take the solid
I would take Parsons based on Carr or Cousins or Micah Parsons. I'd rather have Micah Parsons.
All right. There you go.
Here's a little prediction for you. The Giants are going to walk away Thursday night with both Shador Sanders and Abdul Carter. I forgot his name for a second. I was thinking Miles Garrett.
Miles Garrett again.
Something was said today by a GM that Joe Shane knows well. Dan Morgan.
Yes.
Sitting right in front of the New Orleans Saints, declaring he's open for business. That was the guy who was right there, friends with Joe Shane, the Brian Burns trade. I think the Giants are going to do what the Texans did, where they ended up with Stroud and Anderson.
So trade
back-to-back.
Trade.
I think they're going to take Abdul Carter at third, and I think they're going to jump the Saints and trade up and get Shador Sanders and walk away with both.
That's a bold prediction.
Right.
I think if that happens, and of course we don't know the results till we know the results.
God, that's a long way to come from 34.
They're going to have to give up a lot.
I know they're going to have to give up a lot. And I'm not saying we're going to like it. That's my prediction.
Well, that's what I disagree with. I think the mood of Giant fans, if we're sitting here on Friday morning, Friday afternoon.
What are the Saints, 5?
9.
Nine.
They're a 9.
I think so. I mean, yeah, 5 back. Eighth
is the pick after the Jets.
So 5 back from the Giants.
Yeah.
If we are sitting here Friday and they ended up with Abdul Carter and Shador Sanders, I think most Giant fans are ecstatic. I do. No matter what you had to give up to get there.
You got a potential generational superstar, and then you also have a quarterback that you can build around.
Yeah. I just find it really difficult to believe the Saints are going to do that, especially now with the Derek Carr situation.
Yeah, but
I think
but you got to remember, like, I think the Saints are in more no man's land than the Giants are right now.
Because
What are they doing?
Who's their quarterback?
Exactly.
No, I get you.
But Evan, what do the Saints have to do? It would be Carolina trading, screwing over the Saints, their division.
Oh, rival. I apologize. So you're suggesting? I'm sorry.
Jumping the Saints.
Yes, good call. You're right. Well, then there's nothing they could do other than trading up
right.
and saying, hey, the Giants are a threat. We'll make a deal with Carolina to move up one slot, or we'll make a deal with the Jets, who are sitting there at 7.
Yeah, but why would the Carolina Panthers do that?
Oh, you're right. They wouldn't do that.
I'm glad you asked.
Well, sometimes inside division trades do happen. So the Eagles and the Cowboys do.
A potential generational quarterback?
Yeah.
I don't think so, man.
Yeah.
That's rough to do.
Yeah.
I remember, this draft is filled with a bunch of guys everybody thinks are closer to round 2 than round 1. So when you get to pick 8, you could have Carolina going, you know what, I'd rather collect more picks and then not take the chance my division rival's getting a superstar quarterback, and I'm making a deal with a GM I trust.
I can't wait for Thursday.
It's an interesting guess, Sean.
I'm just throwing it out there if I saw Morgan's comments.
With both.
Yeah. And the Texans.
I saw that he was talking today, but I wasn't listening to him.
Yep, that was what was said.
So is that a prediction or a guess?
That's my prediction today. I read that and I said, I remember the Joe Shane Morgan talk.
Because I think Tiki put you down by calling it a guess. There's a difference between a prediction and a guess.
What? Tell us, Sean.
Is it a prediction? Isn't all predictions guesses? I'm predicting this happens, yes. And no. I'm also guessing this happens.
No, there's a difference. I'll tell you the difference. A guess is like this idiotic, I'll just throw it out there.
No,
prediction is, hey, I think this is going to happen and here's why.
I think it's an educated guess based on what I know about 2GM.
Therefore, a hypothesis.
Okay, it's my hypothesis.
Are you also going to take it a step further and claim that Sean Morash's brain is now reporting that the New York Football Giants?
No, because I don't know what's going on. They may not really like Shador Sanders. It's just my educated guess connecting all the dots on what we know.
Let's go to Chris in East Hanover. Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Just one point on the Giants, and I just want to get your thoughts on the NBA playoffs. But I couldn't agree more with you, Sean. You know, I was just going to say the same thing. I think what the Giants are doing is they're reviewing every quarterback, because there was talk this morning, too, that they would jump back in. They would take Abdul or Travis, and they would jump back in. And if they could get Shador if he drops, or even if they have to grab Jackson Dart before he gets taken, probably at the end of the first. So I'm with you, Sean. I completely think that that's the way they're going to go, and that's why they're doing this. And then one other point on the Knicks. I'm a diehard Knicks fan, and if we lose in round 1 versus Detroit, Tibbs has got to go. I love him. He's a great coach. And secondarily, I want to get you guys picks for the winner coming out of the East and the winner coming out of the West for the NBA Finals.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that question, Chris, because I was debating, when do we do that? Because we always put our predictions out there. We save the audio, and then we make fun of ourselves when we're wrong or right. Do we do it prior to the play-in tournament, which begins tonight, or do we wait until the real playoff teams are set and make those predictions Friday?
Mm.
My opinion is to wait till Friday.
Right. Well, I mean, why rush it?
Yeah, why rush it? Let the Fugazi, it's not the playoffs, but it's not the regular season games, happen. Obviously, we saw Miami go on a run a couple of years ago as a play-in team and go from there. The only thing I can tell you, and Tiki heard me talking about this, I think, to myself in my office a few days ago. I write down every prediction I ever make, and usually I tweet it out. So I was checking my preseason NBA predictions. Like, hey, what did I say? I forgot. Mm-hmm. Let me see how close it is. So before the season started, I predicted the Milwaukee Bucks and the Denver Nuggets in the NBA Finals. As we sit here today, I don't think I'm going to stick with that, because picking the Bucks, with all the flaws they have and the questions around Dame's health, seems like a stupid prediction.
Yeah.
And Denver, I feel a little bit better about, even after the Michael Malone firing, but I don't feel great, Teak, about my preseason prediction.
No, you shouldn't, because neither one of those teams have a straightforward path to getting there. Denver might.
Oh, Denver's got a shot, yeah.
What did I say? Do you have mine?
No, because I wrote it down. I don't think we even did it on the air.
Oh, got it.
I think I wrote it down and tweeted it out. It was the NBA. Like, I think if I asked you, you were like, dude, it's football season. Why are you asking me this right now?
That sounds like an answer I would absolutely say.
But on Friday, we will make our official NBA Finals predictions. Also, CP the Franchise will join us. We'll get you set for that Knicks series. Now, one thing Chris said about Tom Thibodeau, and I know that we've done this too. Okay, so I know that I am guilty of this. We got to stop talking about firing Tom Thibodeau before the series has begun. This is now a common thing. My good buddy Michael Vaccaro wrote an article about it, too. We brought it up on enough, all right? The Knicks are playing the Pistons in the first round of a best-of-seven series. They are heavy favorites to win.
Mm-hmm.
We can analyze the series. We're going to break the series down. If they lose game one, sure, people are going to panic. We got to stop. If they lose, we're firing Tibbs. Let them lose. Then we'll talk about firing Tibbs. It feels like this weird, what's it called when you talk something into existence?
Self-fulfilling prophecy?
Yes. It's this weird psycho self-fulfilling prophecy.
Right.
And so I, as the IBO, and I know, Tommy, you're going to agree with me on this. We got to stop.
Totally. I think a lot of Knicks fans, I'll say it, I've given up.
How have you given up? You're the favorite
because
this
they
round.
Feel like they can't beat the Celtics, they can't beat the Cavs. So they're like, all right, we can't beat an elite team. And if they ever lost to the Pistons, they got to can the head coach. Newsflash, if the Stars don't want him gone, he's not going anywhere. I don't care if they lose to the Pistons. They lost to the Pacers last year.
No. You screwed up. You're doing it. You're doing it. Do you see what he's doing?
You sound like my wife. Whatever.
You're engaging in it.
I didn't ask for directions.
You're breaking it down.
Yeah.
Don't break it down. Just remind the audience and Knicks fans.
Just dismiss it.
Thank you.
All right. Take two. We have a big playoff series coming up here against Detroit. Let's get pumped up. Let's get excited for it. And we'll talk about the end of the season when the season's over. And all we have to do in the offseason.
That's right.
Better?
And you know what? I'm going to take things a step further. Yeah. I'll do it. I'll be the guy.
Oh, here we go.
I haven't heard anyone do it yet.
Is this IBO take?
IBO.
Okay.
You're not going to believe it's an IBO take, though. I just know the way you are. Let's go Knicks. That's not what I said. Let me make this perfectly clear. As an IBO, Knicks are going to kick ass tonight?
I didn't say any of that yet.
I was doing some tape watching last night. I was analyzing the Pistons' weaknesses, strengths, the whole thing, their rotations. I will make this very, very clear. There is no chance in hell the Knicks are losing this series. Mm. No way.
Tommy, don't respond at all.
You don't have to respond. I'm just telling you right now, will you get a scare? Maybe. Mm. It's possible. But there is no way J.B. Bickerstaff... And the Detroit Pistons...
Don't respond, Tommy.
...are going to find a way to win 4 of 7 games...
I know what he's doing.
...against the New York Knicks.
He's baiting you.
No chance. Not happening. I'm looking forward to the series. I hope I'm wrong. Obviously, I am a Knicks hater, but I'm telling you, this is an IBO.
Okay.
The biggest upset of any first-round series. I take that back.
It
won't be the biggest
upset.
You
went too far.
Yeah, that's too far. Let me take that back. One of the bigger, more shocking results... of the NBA playoffs would be the Detroit Pistons, who haven't won a round since the Rip Hamilton, Ben Wallace era.
Wow.
Okay? I mean, I'm serious. They've been in the playoffs twice since then. And I hated those guys.
Wow, that feels like forever ago.
It was. There's no chance in hell.
No chance in hell!
No chance whatsoever. The Knicks are losing this series to the Pistons.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm betting the Pistons.
You can do whatever you want. I'm just telling you. IBO.
You know that emotional insurance thing, Tommy? You might want to look into that.
But you guys are something else.
Dude, I know you.
What does that mean?
I can hear Evan going, April 15th, 422. Can you go back and pull what I said?
Well, I'll tell you right now, pull it now. Because no matter what happens, we'll replay it. If I'm right, I'll remind you I'm right.
Uh-huh.
And if I'm wrong, I'll have to wear a massive L. Happiest L I'll ever wear. By the way, I've decided, Tommy, it's between you and one other person for game two of the Knicks-Pistons series, assuming it falls on Tuesday.
Okay.
I'm deciding between Tommy Lugauer and Tiki Barber.
Mm.
Those are my two options on the Chase Bridge for game two.
I don't know how many times I have to say this on the air. You cannot, and I know, Teak, you're a humble guy, but I'll speak for you. You can't bring the Giants' all-time leading rusher onto the Chase Bridge.
Why not?
Because you can't. Because you can't. You could bring Loogie. You could bring Sean. You could bring Big Zoo. I'm sorry. You could even bring BT or Sal Licata. You can't bring Tiki Barber to the Chase Bridge.
I'm not bringing Sal. He's going to take a timeout, so that's not
a man. You could be a man of the people, but you're a little bit higher up than that. You should be courtside.
I'll be very high up.
And that's why, Evan, you should be bringing me to the Chase Bridge,
you're
and not
screwing
TV.
Up.
There's a good chance my wife's going to say, hell no.
On a Tuesday?
On a Tuesday?
We got to watch The Last of Us.
You are screwing up, Tommy.
It's back.
Do you want to go?
Episode two.
Do you want to go to the next
game? Of course I do.
Okay. I don't think challenging or questioning Tiki's regular guyness is literally the way to do it.
I was more questioning yours, but.
No, it's not about me because I know how Tiki works. I know what's going on in his brain right now. Every possibility his wife says no. 100%, totally get it. Plans, date night, other things. I get it. But Tiki's listening to you talk, and he's like, if I could go, I'm going to show this little schmuck that, of course, I'll sit upstairs. I'm not high-patootin' like that, so I think you're...
See, now Evan's trolling me. He doesn't even realize he's trolling me. Because if he really knows me, he would say, Tiki's going to say, Tommy's the biggest Knicks fan of the entire station.
How about this one?
Tommy's got to go.
He's also unkillable as a Knicks fan.
Positive right. Tommy is unkillable, yes.
Oh, positive Tommy, I'm sorry.
Of course. How about this one, a big shot? I'm talking to you, Evan. How about me and Tiki go to the game? Why do you need to go there?
Yeah, you're
you hate
fan.
The Knicks.
Because they're my tickets. Why would I just give them away?
You don't care. You want them to lose.
So I'm going there with a rooting
interest.
So
we don't need that energy in the building.
Too bad.
What do you mean too bad?
If you're going in the building, you're going to be with me. Live with it.
But Tommy, that's a great suggestion.
He
That's
be
what we
going.
Need to work on.
Yeah.
Me giving you my tickets?
Yep. Of course.
I'm not that nice.
Yeah, like, you're that evil.
Yes,
you want to be there to drink tears.
You're that nice.
You think I'm that nice to just give my tickets away?
You are.
And I'll tell you another thing.
I can feel your heart bubbling up. It's like the Grinch. The Grinch's heart that day grew two sizes too big.
No, but our relationship will be frayed forever. Okay, it'll get uglier than whatever happened yesterday with
BG and Sal. If you don't go?
No, if you go, and I'll tell you why.
Why?
I'll tell you exactly what.
If I go without you.
If I hand you my tickets, you and Tommy, and I hear that you left.
Where am I going?
An effing playoff game before it ends. You want to sit dead to me? You may be dead to me.
Okay, what if they're getting their asses kicked so bad, there's no mathematical possibility for them to come back?
Great question.
If that's your rule, Evan.
Absolutely. If it's mathematical, you're good to go.
Right.
But if I hear...
Should I check with you first?
Yes.
Okay.
If I hear third quarter tie game and Lugie's like, can you believe he left? I think the show's over. I got to tell you right now.
The show's over?
Yeah, I think we'll break it up.
I'm not going to rat him out, though.
What was that?
I'm not going to rat Tiki out. If he leaves, first of all, the game's going to go quicker than a baseball game, and it's indoors. You already got us freezing our asses off this Thursday at City Field in 30-degree weather.
Is
this
it really will be 30?
It's going to be cold.
No, it's not.
Actually, the weather looks good.
Nah, it's
the
to be
weather
nice.
Looks great. And if you left the Met game early, and I'm taking everybody to, I'd be disappointed, but I get it.
I wouldn't leave early. I'd just go to the Cadillac Club.
That's right. I wouldn't have a problem with that. But if I handed you guys my Nick playoff tickets, and I heard you left early, oh, my God. Hmm. Dead to me.
What if it was a justifiable reason?
What's the reason?
That all the Piston fans bought the Chase Bridge tickets and we're getting harassed up there because we're rooting for the Knicks.
Oh, my God. I'd be even more pissed that you left. I'd say, why didn't you take video? Then I'd be upset I didn't go. I will get back to your calls. Plus, speaking of Piston fans, we'll address how they are strategically trying to keep Knicks fans out of their building. Your phone calls, plus the Yankees need to make a big decision on Ben Rice. It is a Tuesday here in New York City. Another full night of baseball. You even have the play-in tournament, if that whets your whistle. Mets in Minnesota against the Twins. Another cold night and a beautiful night in the Bronx as the Yankees get set to try to beat the Royals again. Max Fried on the mound against Michael Wacha. We'll give you the lineups a little bit later on and the Yankee decision they're going to have to make on Ben Rice coming up real soon. But before we get to what the Pistons are doing to keep Knicks fans out of the building, let's get to some of your calls. A lot has been on the table today. We talked about the Nothing Burger controversy around Juan Soto, which is the comments about protection. The Something Burger controversy around Juan Soto, which is that him bunting in the first inning with a runner on second and nobody out is ridiculous. And anyone who thinks that's okay has lost their freaking mind. And the New York Giants, who are working out Shador Sanders on Thursday.
I thought you were going to talk about the hoodie. Controversy.
Oh, yes.
Of Juan Soto.
Yeah, not only are we going to address the Juan Soto hoodie situation, we are actually going to have a live display for those in the TV audience, and then it will be described beautifully by Tiki. But I will show Juan Soto how he should dress in cold weather. And I even came prepared. I'm actually wearing a baseball jersey today, a jersey we talked about the other day. This is my Mel Ott New York Giants jersey. I'll stand up and display it. What do you think?
Not those New York Giants. The New York baseball Giants.
That's right.
I think it's fantastic, actually.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
And the Giants jerseys are basically exactly the same.
Exactly. Well, it says New York.
Except it says San Francisco.
Right. I went road jersey because I don't want it to say San Francisco. I'm a New York baseball Giants fan, and I don't want the word Giants out there because I'm not a Giants fan. So it's a New York Mellot jersey, and it's got the fabric, like the old-time fabric-y fabric.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's old school. You know what else you realize when Evan's wearing that jersey?
What?
The name Mel has been lost to time. Not many babies named Mel anymore.
Not a lot of Mels.
He's right. The only other Mel I can think of is Olsen, right? Mel Olsen?
I don't even know that Mel.
He was a football player, like Mel 70s.
Mel Brooks is a famous Mel.
Yeah, but he's old.
Yeah, no, he's old, right? For sure.
Name me the first Mel that comes to mind. You went with who, Mel, whatever?
Olsen.
Olsen. Sean, first Mel that comes to mind. Can't say Mel Ott.
No, I was going to say the guy who ran Foodtown in New York, Mel Hines, I think was his name.
Okay. Tommy, first Mel that comes to mind.
Mel Brooks.
Mel Brooks. You know what my first Mel is?
Mel Ott.
No. Wouldn't even been Mel Ott, and I love Mel Ott.
Who?
Mel Rojas. The reliever.
Mel Rojas.
Melly Quidas Rojas. Yeah. He was a reliever for the Mets in the 90s. He stunk. He's terrible.
Meliquidas?
His first name was Meliquidas, but his name was Mel Rojas, former relief pitcher.
Yeah. Mel Stottlemyre?
Mel Stottlemyre, no, but unfortunately older. Like, obviously not with us anymore.
Yeah, we're trying to think of young Mel.
Melvin Gordon?
No.
He would be Mel to his buddies?
I doubt he went by Mel.
Maybe.
Yeah, I think to the point, though, that Sean and even Tiki made, there are Melvins out there, but they don't go by Mel anymore.
Yeah.
They haven't gone the short route. They'll just go with Melvin, Melvin Gordon.
Let's just shout this out. Any woman listening who's pregnant today, just consider the name Mel. Big comeback.
Imagine that story 10 years from now. Yeah, I named my son Mel because I was listening to Evan and Tiki on a Tuesday in 2025, and Sean brought it up that it's a lost art.
So you know the guy Leon? You know that actor,
yeah,
Leon?
Of course.
Who was in Cool Runnings.
Cool Runnings, right? Yep, the Temptations
so
movie.
So on our way back from Morocco, going to Paris, he was on our flight. And I saw him, and I was like, oh, that's, it's like, what's his name? It's Leon. So he got on before I did, and when I walked past him, his buddy was like, Tiki Aronde. And I was like, Tiki. And he said, oh, dude. You know Leon. I didn't, but I said hello. I knew who he was. Said hello to him. After the flight, the guy who stopped me comes up to me. He says, I wanted to tell you this. My grandson's birthday is your birthday, April 7th.
Mm.
And he said, I tried to get my son to name his kid your middle name.
Really?
So he tried to get his kid to name his kid Kiambu, but he didn't end up doing it.
Right.
So he's like, I just wanted to tell you that. Happy birthday.
I was like,
wow.
That would have been the first kid, other than AJ, my son, that has my name.
That would have been awesome.
That would have been awesome.
Talk
about a name that nobody talks about.
Yeah. He tried at least.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about the effort, baby.
It was cool. I appreciated that. It made my day.
Yeah.
Leon Robinson, by the way.
Yes. Yes, Leon. That's his real name. But he just goes by Leon.
Let's go to Lorenzo in Queens. How are you, Lorenzo?
Yeah, how you doing, Evan? Yeah, you're being a little bit too tough on Soto, if you allow me. You say it's a numbers game, but he's not a computer. He's not invincible. He's not a video game character. Mm. He knows what he's doing based on the pitcher. And Joe Ryan, he's no joke. The defense, the situation, you know, maybe at that moment, he thinks that's the best thing to do. Plus, it was freezing. Maybe he just wants to, you know, get the adrenaline of running up the line, you know?
Boy, I'll tell you. Yeah, Lorenzo, I give you credit. You just tried to come up with like a million excuses and
the freezing thing was true.
Well,
even though it was only 47.
He was cold. It was only 47, but you could tell by the way the Mets were dressed and some Twins were dressed that the windshield probably made it feel like it was in the 20s.
Mm.
Because guys were dressed like they were in the frozen tundra.
Yeah, they had the hand warmers
like
the football players wear.
Yeah.
And it couldn't have been that cold.
Well, the game time temperature, a respectable 47, but it was windy. And you could tell that it was very windy with the way the ball was moving in the outfield. So it probably felt very cold. Plus, I don't know if you know this. Sean definitely doesn't know this. There are a lot of lakes in Minnesota.
Mm.
And so that causes it to feel colder.
Right. I don't know that. I've been in Minnesota more times than you have, pal.
How many times?
Twice.
Really?
two whole weeks. A Super Bowl week and a Final Four.
You beat me 2-1. I've been in Minnesota one time. One time in my entire life.
You got to get this last caller.
Which one?
We are so stupid.
You know what?
We are so dumb.
That's a good one. Joe in South Jersey. We forgot about a Mel. Go ahead, Joe.
Dude. Joe, give
us... Hey, guys. How are you?
Lay it down
actually.
On us.
Baseball side, don't forget Mel Allen, who used to do this week in baseball and was a Yankee recruiter.
Right.
But what about Mel Kiper Jr.?
Yeah. That's an obvious one.
That's a good point, especially because, see, here's the thing about Mel Allen. Same thing with Mel Stottlemyre. They're older.
Right.
Yeah,
we're talking modern.
Right.
Modern,
not around younger. Anymore. Like Mel Ott. I'm wearing a Mel Ott jersey. Yeah, he played in the 30s.
Right.
But Mel Kiper, with his big, beautiful hair, is still around. And he's very timely right now.
How do we not know that one?
Because I think Mel Kiper, over the last 10 years, has become less relevant.
Mm.
Because
everybody has their... Right.
Correct. It's nothing against Mel Kiper. It's that there are so many draft guys. And Daniel Jeremiah, to me, has become the premier draft guy, and there are many ways to consume your draft information. So, unfortunately, Mel Kiper Jr. has just become like, whatever.
What do we consider young for Mel's? By the way, I got a couple other ones we missed.
50 and under.
50 and under. All right, so Mel Gibson would not apply.
Hmm.
How about Mel C of the Spice Girls? Was that
Mel
Baby
B.
Spice?
Mel B?
No, Mel C. Was she Baby Spice?
Wasn't there?
There were
Mel
two
B.
Mels. That's
there was
why
two Mels.
Oh, there's two. So Mel B and C.
Okay.
They're born in the 70s. Is that 50?
Oh, definitely. That's young.
So there you go. But it's the female version of it.
Right. A female
Mel. Unisex.
Short for Melanie. Let's
stage
go to
stage names. We would call them.
That's right. Let's go to Connor in Goshen, New York. What's up, Connor?
What's up, Connor?
Hey, playing the 40s. Right?
Connor.
Is that me saying the 40s?
Yeah, that was you.
Oh, he's got the delay.
That's
all right.
How bad the delay
Turn
is.
Turn it off. Maybe we'll get back to you. Right. Let's go to Kevin in Mount Arlington, New Jersey. Hey, Kevin.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean. Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Kevin. Yeah, actually, I'm from New Jersey. Yes.
Oh, sorry. What's up?
Yeah, Tyler here. With the Giants draft pick, I don't understand going for the running back or for the quarterback.
Right.
Why aren't they going for offensive linemen?
I mean, if you were being really prudent because of how the top end of this offensive line draft is, you'd say go for offensive linemen. But I said this last week, there are 14, I think was the number I threw out, maybe 15 linemen that are in the top 100 of this draft. So what that means is you can get a really good offensive lineman, a top 100 player out of this draft, top, you know, in the first three rounds, offensive lineman, somewhere in the fourth or fifth round.
Right.
Right. All of them are not going to go before the third round. So you're going to see good offensive linemen that are second and third round draft picks. And so because it's so deep, I don't think you have to spend your third overall pick on an offensive
line. No, you don't. In fact,
I do think the Giants are going to take an offensive lineman sometime later, but it's because of that. It's very deep offensive line.
They could also trade back. You floated out the idea earlier about the reason they're meeting with Shedeur is to remind the league, hey,
there's a quarterback. And Jackson Dart, which they did, and Jalen Milroe. They're doing it because they're trying to tell other teams, we're going to draft a quarterback.
Right.
And so if you want the best one that's still available, come up and trade with us.
Let's go to Chris in Manhattan. Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. You know who was very happy with the Juan Soto bunt yesterday? Who's was probably cheering. Hal Steinbrenner.
Okay. Well, for a second,
remember
like,
that whole thing? More?
Yeah, you're right.
That's right. I think your theory is flawed. Not so much about good Juan Soto bunt, but you gave a scenario saying that Juan Soto, if he came up in the ninth with whatever, down 3 runs, leading off, you would say, okay, now hold on, though. If Juan Soto gets on base, 43% of the time, 45, somewhere around there?
Yeah.
Right? Then we would have to understand, is the percentage of bunting, successful bunting, higher or lower than that? Because that might not apply to an elite hitter like Juan Soto.
Right.
Maybe the bunting percentage applies to a hitter without the same ability to get on base.
No, that's a good
maybe
point.
Maybe Juan Soto should never be bunting.
Right. I mean, that's the other side of the analytics that I don't know. I mean, I'm not, what's the percentage of getting on when bunting?
Yeah, no, and there's no way to have that because there isn't enough data with Juan Soto. My point, though,
but I'm just saying in general.
Yeah, well, I think it's different for each player because they're also fielded differently. Right. Like, a part of why Juan Soto thinks about bunting is that they're basically shifting him over. So if he gets one down the third base line, he runs for days.
And so that's what he did. So give him credit for telling. Why not?
Because
he's telling opponents, if you're going to shift me, I'm going to bunt.
Here's why.
Or I'm going to slap a base hit down the left field
line. I'm going to tell you why I hate it. Because, we don't know the percentage of success, but even if it's high, like, even if you say, hey, Juan laying a bunt down, that's a 60% chance or an 80% chance of getting on base with a hit. It also means there's a 0% chance of him hitting one over the fence.
Right.
Or him hitting a double up the alley. You've eliminated that because he's bunting.
Okay, but let's not forget, Evan, that Juan Soto, up until yesterday, had only hit one home run.
So what does that mean?
That was his second home run.
Okay.
So he wasn't feeling confident in his power stroke. So let me just get on base, advance the runner. So it's a smart baseball move.
No, it's not.
And when we asked Mindy about it, I guarantee, we can't ask Mindy unless he does it multiple more times. But when we talk to Mindy, we'll ask him, and I bet he says that's a smart winning baseball move.
Well, because he's going to defend his player.
But it's also a smart winning baseball move.
I don't think it's a smart winning baseball move. When you're Juan Soto and there's a runner on second and nobody out in the top of the first inning, I don't agree with you.
Okay.
Why did you say my name? Is that like a strategy in an argument?
It gets you to slow down. When you say somebody's name, like, we are all narcissists.
Yeah.
And so when you hear your name, you stop and you actually really listen.
How do you say the word?
Narcissist.
Narcissist?
Yeah.
Hey, Tommy, did you watch the documentary about WrestleMania 9?
I did, and I do remember the late, great Bobby Heenan.
How did he say narcissist?
He would go, narcissist. Now, remember, he was a bad guy. That could have been him trying to get under people's skin.
By saying the word wrong?
Yeah, and don't forget, narcissist.
Would that annoy you, Tiki, if you're watching?
Yeah, it would.
Yeah.
I wouldn't listen to him anymore.
Narcissist.
Lex Luger, of course.
It was so weird.
The narcissist.
I remember as a kid when he used to call him that. And I was like, that doesn't even make any sense. That's not the word.
I think that's why he did it, if I had to guess.
By the way,
he didn't want to really call him a narcissist.
And for those that are wondering why I questioned Tiki's argument strategy with me, there's a reason I did that. Because next Tuesday at 4:30, we're going to have a formal debate on Roger Goodell. And I am preparing for this debate by understanding all of Tiki's tricks and all of his strategies and how he approaches arguments and discussions.
My other cue when I want you to listen to me.
Yeah.
You know it, Sean.
Hold on.
Hold on to the other
with
one.
With the hand up.
Hold on.
Yeah.
With the hand up.
But he doesn't do that to me. He does it to you a lot,
well,
Sean.
Well, we're arguing, we'll do it.
Yeah.
Because I always argue with Sean.
Yeah. Hold on.
Hold on. Shut your mouth.
So oftentimes because I'm on the mic.
Real quick, I do want to address, and we'll get back to your phone calls. We got a Cinco de Favo coming up at 5 o'clock, and we're going to fix Juan Soto's wardrobe. But the Detroit Pistons, if you go on Ticketmaster, are restricting your ability to buy tickets at the Little Caesars Palace, whatever the hell they call it.
Pizza.
They're restricting it. They're making sure that you have to be from Michigan or Ohio or Ontario, Canada, or wherever.
Yeah. We talked about this briefly yesterday, but it was at the very end of our show, so we're rebringing it back up.
Yes. We didn't have a formal discussion about it. I apologize. And I've done some research about this because they're restricting New Yorkers from buying tickets.
Right.
And if you go to the Pistons website, obviously you can't buy the tickets, but you can look. There is no market for Knicks-Pistons playoff tickets.
And that's important because my point when Evan brought this up was this is just creating, one, populated all with Piston fans, but two, allow Detroit residents to buy those tickets and then make money off of them.
Right, resell them.
Make money off the New Yorkers who are going to come and definitely buy them on the secondary market.
Which I get that strategy because they're attempting to keep New Yorkers out. They can't honestly do it because of the resale market, but what they can do is at least cost us more money.
Yes.
By not allowing us to buy the tickets straight from the team. So I get it, but the problem I'm noticing is that there are a lot of tickets available.
Yeah.
And so, and I don't know the reason. I don't know if it's the economy. I don't know if it's fans lost so much interest in the Pistons because they were bad for so long.
Or they could have spent a lot of their disposable income on the Lions.
They've already spent it.
Seriously?
Yeah, it's a good point. They already spent the money, you know, buying Super Bowl tickets they can never use. Or airfare and hotels right. that they never use. But I do remember when we were talking about the pricing for their home playoff games, it was through the roof. It was beyond through
100%.
The roof.
It was the highest of all of them.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, it was by a lot. So you're right. Like there are many reasons on why the Pistons may have issues drawing. It could be as simple as the economy, mm-hmm. losing interest because they were bad for so long, or simply just not believing in the team. You know, it could just be as simple as, you know what, win a game at Madison Square Garden, make it 1-1, and I'll spend big money.
And the challenge now becomes, because Evan and I continued the discussion off air, a lot of these Detroit residents might buy these tickets and then have to sell them if they don't really want to go
right.
at a loss. And so it actually could backfire.
It could very well backfire. And the good news I have for Knicks fans is if you are willing to get on a plane or even drive to Detroit, I've driven to Detroit before.
How long?
How long did it take? I stopped in Gettysburg. And then I...
For what, gas for your car? Would you stop there?
Why I stopped in Gettysburg?
But you're driving...
There was a big battle there. I don't know if you heard about it.
I know, but you're driving to Detroit for a sporting event.
Hey, what was that battle called, Sean?
The Battle of Gettysburg.
You at least you nailed that one. Yes.
How does one have time to veer off to go to Gettysburg? I'm not saying don't go to Gettysburg.
Well,
I'm just saying how did one have the time?
I did a trip. I actually did two trips to Detroit, but now that I think about it. So the one with Gettysburg.
Well, the place you were going to Gettysburg, did you type in the Gettysburg address?
Look at you. That was a good one.
I couldn't even finish it. I was so excited.
That was good.
I like that one.
I don't remember, but I do have a picture for Tiki Barber that he's going to find funny because I saved this in my phone. When I went to Detroit,
mm-hmm.
I stayed in a hotel and I biked to Comerica Park.
I'm a loser.
To see the Tigers play.
Of course you did.
I took a picture and I have it on my phone. I'm going to share it to Tiki. I guess we can't put it on TV. I'll tweet it out though. A picture of my red folding bike connected to the Comerica Park gate because they let me keep it there.
Wow.
I'm a loser.
That's my red bike.
And nobody stole this?
Nobody stole it. Yeah.
Wow.
It's my red bike.
For a second, I was going to say, how did you get it there? But you drove, so it was just in the back of your car.
It's a folding bike, so it folds up.
That's pretty cool, actually.
It's pretty badass. So what I used to do is, in my single days, is I'd get a hotel, let's say 5 miles away, whatever, doesn't matter, and then I would bike from the hotel to the stadium. And
you're pretty innovative, man.
Thank you very much.
I thought about you yesterday.
Well, that's weird.
Different reason.
Oh, okay.
So there's a world championship, cheer world championships.
Yes.
That are in Orlando next weekend. My children are not competing,
mm-hmm.
but my daughter really wants to go.
Right.
So CJA has a few world's teams that are competing, and she wants to go see her gym's world's team compete. And so I was like, Trace, you going to take them? She's like, I do not want to get on a plane. I was like, well, how's she going? He's like, you got to take them. And so we were looking at the tickets. Tickets are not too expensive, but they're pretty expensive. And so I was like, maybe we can drive.
Yeah. That's my guy.
So I looked it up.
Yeah.
15 hours
yes.
and 45 minutes.
Correct.
I said, there's no way in hell I'm driving. And then Tracy said, yeah, that wouldn't be good. We could all go, but that wouldn't be good. I said, Evan did it.
I did do it. I've done it all when it comes to driving. It's not that bad.
The problem is we would be coming back Sunday after Team Guns performs, and they perform at like 4.
Oh, no, that's a problem.
Because
now you're getting back.
I'm not getting back. I'm driving through the night,
yeah.
and I'm not getting back until, I don't know, 11 o'clock on Monday.
Yeah, that's a problem.
And then coming right to work after driving 15 hours.
And also, you don't have a lot of wiggle room.
We just spent the money and bought the ticket.
No, I think you made the right decision because, like, when I drive long distances, I need the room of, hey, if I want to pull over and go to sleep for a few hours, I can. If you're trying to make a certain time, it's the absolute worst. Yeah. Can't do it.
Right.
Now, as innovative as I am, I'll tell you one quick practical joke that did happen to me.
Okay.
I pulled the same thing in St. Louis. I was in St. Louis. I stayed at a hotel right near the Arch, and I biked over to Busch Stadium.
Okay.
So I park my bike. I go in. I watch the game.
I'm a loser.
I come out. Bike is gone.
Of course.
Bike's gone. And I'm like, where the hell is my bike? All of a sudden, I look over, and there are two security guards cracking them. They're laughing. They're looking at me, and they're laughing.
They took it?
So I turn around. I'm like, do you guys know where my bike is?
Because
you guys are cracking up over there. They're like, sir, you really screwed up. I said, what do you mean? He's like, where did you lock the bike up? And it's a pole. The pole's 5 feet tall and it just comes up. They lifted my bike up and moved it over just to play a joke on me because they thought I was so dumb for the way I locked it.
Amazing. So, yeah.
You're awesome, Evan.
Good people of St. Louis.
I'm a baby.
Some people play by the rules, but the real game changers break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we're talking to the risk takers, the rebels, and the ones rewriting the playbook. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.